May our hearts and minds be fixed on the one who comes among us and says, "Peace be with you." Amen. Over these last several weeks, as you're likely acutely aware, we've been doing church a different way, primarily at home. For some, I've heard that this has fostered a peaceful, meditative experience on Sunday mornings, for it has allowed these individuals a chance to simply be with God, not to worry about fitting in, about singing correctly, about standing and sitting at the appointed times. On the other hand, I've heard that others have found the experience completely isolating, completely disorienting, completely void of God. These are but two examples, and perhaps you fall somewhere in between, or elsewhere entirely. Did you happen to catch where our gospel story takes place? Before you answer, let me set the context for this gospel passage today. The context is Easter Day, the Easter Day. It had just been discovered earlier in the day that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Mary Magdalene began telling others, but based on today's gospel passage, it seems like the disciples had not yet heard the news. They were still in disbelief. They were trying to figure out what to do. Jesus was gone, but they still had each other. And so they gathered together behind closed and locked doors, as we heard. Perhaps they gathered that evening to share a meal, perhaps to sip a drink around the fire. It had only been a few days since that fateful holy meal that they all shared with Jesus. The bread that they now shared seemed a bit stale, the wine a bit acidic. Their mood had turned stale and acidic too. Were they next? Were the authorities going to find them, the followers of Jesus, and execute them too? Even if they didn't, what were they going to do? They were so embarrassed. They'd given the last few years of their life to Jesus. And for what? To now be mocked? To now be scorned as lunatics, as running after a false god? The situation was looking very bleak. Amidst all this confusion, amidst all this uncertainty, amidst all this hopelessness, who of all people shows up? Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up, and Jesus greets his friends with a phrase that must have been balm for their weary souls. "Peace be with you." Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced because they knew it was the Lord. The Lord found them where they were, feeling alone, abandoned, and afraid of what was outside the door. And he soothes their swirling and stormy hearts with the tenderness of a mother. "Peace be with you." The irony of the disciples being locked inside, while we also are locked inside, is not lost on me. And neither is the fact that Jesus met them right where they were. Perhaps you too have been worried about whether God can show up in your house, with kids running around screaming, with your messy kitchen, while you're wearing sweatpants for the 15th day in a row, and while you can't even remember when you last showered. The answer is yes. The answer is always yes. Jesus shows up wherever you are. Whether you're locked in a first century house in Jerusalem, whether you're locked in a 21st century house in Connecticut, Jesus shows up, and he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus shows up, and at least at first, he doesn't try to change a thing. He doesn't immediately ask the disciples to cheer up or belittle their lack of faith in him. And he doesn't ask you to clean up the kitchen. He doesn't ask you to wrangle your crying children. No. But he does join you there in the midst of your life, and he points you gently towards the new life that he is offering. Just like the new life that burst out of the tomb on that Easter morning, Jesus stands there, gently repeating the mantra, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Calling you into new life, even when your present circumstances lead you to doubt what you know in your soul, that you are loved, and that you can offer love even while being surrounded by loss. Now, for the sake of transparency, let's be clear that what followed this first Easter day were days and weeks and months and years of great uncertainty. This fledgling Jesus movement needed to figure out what to do. Who would lead it? Would they continue praying in exactly the same way as they had before? What changes and adaptations would be needed based on the new information and experiences they had all shared? How would they build a sense of community in a time where they were scared for their safety? If these questions sound familiar to you, I'm glad to hear that, because they're questions I've been having in terms of our current situation. I've been thinking about how our present circumstances may be somewhat analogous to the sort of story that we see unfold in the Acts of the Apostles, a book we'll be reading for the next several Sundays. The church is trying to figure itself out post-Easter then, just as now, and there was and is no playbook or secret recipe. What they did have, though, was a crucified, dead, and risen leader who led by saying, "Peace be with you," and by sending the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them always. They had a God whose prerogative is always to bring life out of death and to be present in the midst of disaster, whether that disaster is the death of his son or a 21st century pandemic. I'll conclude with a prayer from our Book of Common Prayer that I think is particularly fitting during this time. Let us pray. This is another day, O Lord. I know not what it will bring forth, but make me ready, Lord, for whatever it may be. If I am to stand up, help me to stand bravely. If I am to sit still, help me to sit quietly. If I am to lie low, help me to do it patiently. And if I am to do nothing, let me do it gallantly. Make these words more than words, and give me the Spirit of Jesus. Amen.